This is HPR episode 2096 entitled Useful Bash Functions, Part 2, and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 23 minutes long. The summary is the further development of a bash function that may be of use in your scripts.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris. Now today I'm going to be talking about Bash and some functions that I think you might find useful if you're into that type of thing. Now this is one of those shows where I have put up quite a lot of code and I'm going to talk about it. So if you're not interested in this, then you can skip ahead. If you are interested, I would strongly advise that you listen to this with the code in front of you. Unless you have a very, very good ability to visualize bits of text in your head, which I'm certainly not such a person, so I sympathize if you're not. So what I'm doing today is picking up from where I left off in 2015, April 28th, where I did show number 1757, which I entitled Useful Bash Functions. And so I thought I'd carry on from here, and this is called also Useful Bash Functions, Part 2. And what I'm doing this time, I looked back at the previous functions that I talked about, and I'd got a bit of feedback from the previous show, some of which said the way I had organized things was not really all that useful. At the time, I didn't agree with that, but on reflection, on using these functions, because these are things I actually use day in, day out, I got really fed up with the way it was, some of these were working, so I've rewritten them. I thought I would share one of them with you, which was the yes-no function, which was sort of I think it was commented on that it was a bit annoying the way it worked. So, as usual, if you have anything to say about this, critical or otherwise, anyway, saying constructive critical things is a good thing. So just please comment or send me an email or something. So my yes underscore no function is a thing which I use in scripts which asks a question in the form of a prompt and then expects an answer, which has got to be a yes or a no, a positive or a negative answer, and then it will return a true or a false result. And so what this function actually does is it takes a prompt and, or it outputs a prompt. You feed it a prompt and you feed it a default answer, which can be Y or N, yes or no. And it then outputs that prompt and expects an answer. Or if you don't type anything, it'll go with the, just hit return, it will go with the default. Now the version that I demonstrated in show 1757, the prompt was always followed by the default. So if you provided a default like yes or no or whatever, you would actually see, do you want to do XYZ, followed by either the word yes or no. So it actually it typed it for you effectively, which was not ideal, because if you wanted to change the default to something else, it offered you no and you wanted it to be yes, you needed to delete the text and then retype it. So I've had a go at redesigning this, and I've got two versions of it which I want to talk about in this episode. I've called them yes no mark 2 and mark 3. So I've got an example of using mark 2, and it consists of if space exclamation mark, which is the negation symbol in bash, space yes underscore no underscore mk2 space open quote do you want to continue question mark space percent s space close quote space open quote capital N close quote semicolon space then. So that's an if statement, and the thing that follows the then is return followed by fi, which is the end of the if statement. So what this is doing is it's firing up yes no, it's getting back an answer, and if the answer was true, then it will return, if the answer was yes, it will return a true value, and then it will skip the rest of the if statement and carry on with the rest of the script, because we've negated it. We've turned a true result into a false one. And if the result coming back is false, it will be negated to become true, and then the script will execute the return statement. So that's how it works. So the prompt, do you want to continue, percent S, is what gets put out, and the other argument is the default. So when you run it, you would get the prompt, do you want to continue, question mark, space, then you'd get square brackets, lowercase y, slash, capital N, close bracket, and that's been replaced by the function, that's replaced the percent s string. Now this lowercase y slash capital N business is a convention you'll often see in command line tools. You probably have, and you're wondering why I'm telling you about it, but just in case you haven't, the square brackets hold the two possible responses, in this case, which there's only two possible responses, and the default one is capitalized. So this one shows that the responses should be a y or an N, but if nothing is typed, then it's taken as being an N. And the case of these things is relevant. The case in the square brackets simply denotes which one is default. So I then launch into the function itself, and it's a bit different from the previous version. So I will go through this one, but when we come to Mark 3, I'll skip over a lot of the details because they're similar. So yes, no, Mark 2. It starts. I've got a numbered listing of it here in the notes, in the full notes. Starts on line 9, preceded by the usual comment, and on lines 10 to 12, there are various variables being defined, two of which hold the arguments. The variable prompt and default hold the two arguments that are given to it, and also provide defaults as appropriate. In fact, prompt is mandatory, so that bit of bash parameter substitution causes the whole script to fail with an error message if no prompt was provided. The default is set from argument 2, which is forced to uppercase. It's just so we don't have to bother about checking for different forms of the answer. So lines 14 to 28 are all about dealing with the prompt string. And as you've seen in the example, you can provide the prompt string with a percent s enclosure, which is a substitution point for this square bracketed business. So first thing that happens on line 14 is that a bash regular expression is used to check to see whether the prompt variable contains the string percent s. I plan to talk about bash regular expressions at some point in the future, so I'll not go into details here. If it is, if there is one of these things in there, then the rest of the lines up to 27 are executed. If there's no percent s, then we don't care. We're just going to carry on. We don't need to do anything special to the prompt. Then on line 15, we have a check to see whether there is a default value. The minus n option inside the double square brackets, which is Bash's testing capabilities in an if statement. Minus n means not blank, not empty. So if the default exists, if there is a default value, then we want to do particular stuff. If there's no default value, then there's an error and we abort the whole script. That's on lines 25 and 26, where an echo is produced, which puts out an error message that says default required. So if you're going to use percent s, you've got to provide a default, otherwise it makes no sense. and we use on line 26 we use exit, which not only exits from the function, it also exits the script that's calling it, because whoever has written the script has obviously messed up. So we just want to abort at that point. So lines 16 to 23 now, that's what happens if there is a default. In line 16 we set default to the first character of the, that particular string, because it might be a multi-character thing. It might be NO or YES or something. Then depending on what we get back, there's a case statement which begins on line 17, which is which uses default as the default variable as the switch variable, and if default contains Y, then we can reconstruct the prompt string by using it as the format string to a printf and adding square bracket capital Y slash lowercase n close square bracket as the percent s, and we put that back into the prompt variable. So that's the line that says Y close parenthesis printf space minus v space prompt space open double quotes dollar prompt close double quotes space double quotes square brackets uppercase y slash lowercase n close square brackets close double quotes and then two semicolons, which is the way you end one of the branches in a case statement in Bash. So if the prompt was, if the default I should say was Y, or began with the Y, then we want to put in the appropriate element in the prompt string that shows that the default is a Y. For the N branch, then we do the equivalent thing but with the case the other way around, so that the default is obviously a no, an N. If we get neither a Y nor an N, which is the star instance, the star case in the case statement, that means anything else, then we do another one of these echoes with an error message saying the default must be Y or N, and exit the whole script. And the next line is a double semicolon, meaning that's the end of that branch. ESAC on line 23 is the end of the case statement. I wanted to mention how this echo error message is constructed. The echo string is in double quotes, so you can put parameters in it. You can put the parameter substitutions in it. And what we do is we substitute dollar open curly bracket func name, F-U-N-C-N-A-M-E, all in capitals, square bracket, open square bracket, zero, close square bracket, close curly bracket. That means the array called func name, the zeroth element. Now, this is something that's maintained by Bash, and it keeps the name of the current function that you're in on the, it's sort of a stack. Similarly, a bit further on in that line, we have a line number, so it's line space and then the substitution point. So we're using dollar open curly bracket bash underscore line no, which is all in uppercase, square bracket zero, close square bracket, and this is the current line number that we're on in the Bash script. So it's just a, I just put that in because I, in the intervening time, worked out how to do that and thought it's a useful thing to put in error messages, because you get more information about where things failed if you're developing a script. So after we've been all through all this stuff between lines 14 and 28, we've come out, if we have come out, because we haven't aborted due to errors, we've come out with a prompt string which has been rewritten to contain this square bracket y slash n business. So line 33 through 38, they're pretty much similar to the original, but I'll just read them quickly because you probably have completely forgotten about how it was done originally. So we've got a read statement, read space minus lowercase e space minus lowercase p, and then the followed by space double quotes dollar prompt close double quotes space ans ans. So what that's doing is it's outputting the prompt string and receiving back an answer, which is storing in the appropriately named variable ans. Then line 34 has got res equals, in double quotes, dollar question mark. This is the result returned by the read statement. So if anything went wrong, then we can catch it there and deal with it. So this is followed lines 35 to 38 by an if, which says if dollar res is not equal to zero, it should come back as equal to zero, meaning everything worked okay, then echo read aborted, return one. So the most common thing that will happen is if the person using the script types control D, which is the sequence that you use to say that's the end of what I want to type. It's sort of it's an end of file marker, and you can use it to abort read prompts. If you do that, then this function will return a read aborted message and will return one. The value one is false, so should have returned the default, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, it's the trouble with reading these things out. As I think about them, I'm thinking of other ways I could rewrite it. Anyway, we'll leave it as it is for the moment. In line 40, we're looking to check to see whether an answer was actually returned, whether the user just pressed return, in which case the ands variable will be of zero length, and that's what that test is doing. It's not using an if, it's using one of these shortcut types of bash expressions. So in square brackets we have minus z space double quotes dollar ans double quotes, and then ampersand space ans equals open double quotes dollar default double quote. So we're checking to see if the ands variable is empty, and if it is, then we put the default in there. Then lines 41 to 45 are actually actioning the returned result. So the if statement checks to see whether the variable ans, which we force to uppercase, matches the regular expression. The regular expression consists of circumflex capital Y, open parenthesis, capital E, vertical bar, capital E, capital S, close parenthesis, question mark, dollar. Now this is a regular expression which looks for a Y as the starting character, and then that can be optionally followed by an E or an ES. And that's why they're in a parenthesized group with an alternation vertical bar in the middle. If you've listened to my SED series, you should recognize this, except that in SED you have to put backslashes in front of a lot of things. The question mark after the closing parenthesis means you don't have to have the things after the Y. So just a plain Y or a YE or a YES are all match. And the dollar at the end simply says that's all you expect, and you expect the end of the line at that point. So if that matches, the script returns zero, which is true. Otherwise, it returns one, which is false. And that's it. So it's actually fairly simple, except that there are some slightly tricky things along the way if you're not up to speed with Bash, perhaps. Now, there is a problem with, there are probably several problems with the Mark II version, and the thing that struck me as I was developing this was that if you type Y, you get the answer, it treats it as if you're saying yes. But if you typed X or anything that is not an N, including an N itself, it's regarded as no. So that's a bit messy. If you went for the Y key and missed, then it would be interpreted as N, and it could be something quite important that was being asked for confirmation on. So I thought I would develop a Mark III version to make this a little bit more resilient. And it's essentially the same. Again, it's listed in the long show notes. It's pretty much the same all the way through lines 1 to 32. Everything is pretty much the same. The difference is that on line 33 we have a while loop. So there's a loop in this which will keep on checking what is actually returned in the way of an answer. The while loop consists of the word while space then true semicolon space do. I like to write my while loops all on one line. You can split it after the true, if you want to, instead of the semicolon, put the do on the next line. So what's true? Well, true is actually a built-in feature. It's a built-in bash command, which just returns a true value, true being zero. So while true do, and the loop ends on line 57, means keep doing this loop forever. There's no condition there that will ever stop it. So lines 37 to 42 are the same read and check and give up on control D thing that we saw in the earlier version of this, in the Mark II version. Line 44 is the same as before, where it's checking to see if ANDs contains anything, and if it doesn't, setting it to a default. Then the real change, the main change apart from the while loop, is line 50 through to 56, where we check the uppercase version of ANDs on line 50 against that same regular expression that will match a Y or a YE or a YES, and then it will return true if that matches. But then line 52, we're doing a further test that if it wasn't that, then is it equal to no, where the regular expression is circumflex capital N capital O question mark dollar. And what that means is start at the beginning of the line, look for an N followed by an O, but the O is optional because it's followed by that question mark, and then we want the end of the line. So NO, no way, or something like that being typed in would not match. If that matches, we return 1, which is false. And if neither of those match, line 54, the else branch, we output the message invalid reply, please use Y or N. And line 56 is the end of that compound if. So what we have here then is a thing that takes in an answer, checks if it's yes or no, and stops the loop and exits the function with a value. But if neither of those are returned, then it will produce an error message and the loop will go round again. So the function will keep on and on and on asking the same prompt until it gets a valid answer. So I've given a typical use in the notes, which is pretty much the same as the example for the Mark II version. So if, I won't read out letter by letter, but we've got if not yes no Mark III, then in quotes, do you want to continue percent S close quote, and the default is in quotes and it's a capital N semicolon then we echo finished and we return at that point. So if you ran that particular if statement in a script or from the command line, if you wanted to, though I'd never do that myself personally, but you might get the following dialogue, which I've shown in the thing in the notes. Do you want to continue? And you've got a lowercase y capital N, so the default is no. And the response here has been what? And it comes back saying invalid reply, please use Y or N. Do you want to continue? In the same question, type YO. The original version would have accepted that YO as a meaning yes, but in this case it says no, invalid reply, and then the next answer is nope, N-O-P-E. Well, that also doesn't match because there's a P and an E after the N-O, invalid reply, it says, and then asks the prompt again, and finally this rather awkward person types no, at which point the script says finished and aborts and stops, exits. So personally I'd say that the Mark III version is more useful overall, and the one I have adopted myself in a number of places, and it's not perfect. There's still things you could do to it, actually, some of which I thought of as I was reading this stuff, but it's a bit better. If you have for any input, if you have any suggestions as to how to make it better, then please let me know. There's a version of it which can be downloaded, which is linked in the notes. So if you want to grab it and use it in your scripts or mess around with it or improve it or whatever, then please feel free. And if you do improve it, as I said, let me know. That would be great. Okay, we'll call it quits there. Hope you enjoyed that. Bye now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.